Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Evangelist Donald Perkins. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message.
As Pastor shared with you, the enemy tried to shut it down today, but he couldn't stop it. And again, God is so faithful. We serve a risen King, and I'm always honored, always privileged to be in the house of God. And again, Pastor, I thank you so much for allowing us to be with you one more time. I mean, I'm honored. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to bring some materials in the screen there. As Pastor shared, we have a number of materials at the book table. This is a wonderful book entitled Exploring Bible Prophecy from Genesis to Revelation. This is a wonderful teaching. It covers all the prophecies in the scriptures. A great book that you may want to add to your library, a wonderful study that will give you understanding about the end times. Another book entitled Wrath and Glory, The Meaning of the Book of Revelation. This is a wonderful book by a colleague of mine, Dr. David Reagan. And what this book does, it deals with the book of Revelation. It really helps take the fear out of it, and it explains what it is, as well as another book, 101 Answers to Questions about the Book of Revelation. This is a great teaching. It answers a lot of questions that you may have about the Book of Revelation. You know, a lot of people are afraid of the Book of Revelation, and you shouldn't be. It's a wonderful study designed to help you understand your future, okay? Now, the message I'm going to share this morning is entitled Deception in the Church in the Last Days. I want to encourage you to take notes. We're going to expose a lot of things this morning that's going to help fortify and strengthen and build you up in your Christian walk. Now, we have a number of DVDs on the table there. We're doing a series called Your Future in Bible, called Understanding the Book of Revelation. We just completed this series. When everything is done, it's a total of 70, it's about 50 DVDs. But it's over 70 messages on the book of Revelation. We also have it on USB as well on the table. You can also purchase it there if you like. But it's a verse-by-verse study of the book of Revelation. Now, we have a Bible prophecy manual. It's a user-friendly guide designed to help you understand Bible prophecy. We have a pull-out chart, which is a dispensational chart or a chart of time. It actually puts the end times like a roadmap from the cross of Christ all the way to the end of the story. A wonderful teaching designed to help you. We have our website, which is www.according2prophecy.org. We've been online since 1995. We're also part of the social media platforms, Facebook, Parler, Twitter. We're on the Truly Family Entertainment Network. It's owned by Chicken Soup of the Soul. This is their religious arm, and we have a bunch of things there, as well as YouTube. And then we have a weekly program that airs every week on His channel. You can actually download the app. It's a purple app, His channel. There you see our program. Our program is called Your Future in Bible Prophecy. It's a wonderful 30-minute program designed to help you understand Bible prophecy. Now, last but not least, we have our new According to Prophecy Ministry app. You can download it on your Apple devices, Roku, Amazon, or either Google Play. And there we have a lot of our messages. You can watch the messages there as well. So I encourage you to download the According to Prophecy Ministry app, all right? Now, my message this morning will be entitled Deception in the Church in the Last Days. I want you to bow your heart as we ask the Lord to bless His word. Father God, we love you, and again, we count it an honor and a privilege, first and foremost, as we stand before you, the creator of all life. Lord, it's a privilege, dear God, that we, as your sons and daughters, have the wonderful opportunity where we can glorify your name. Lord, it's a privilege to stand before your people today. Now, Lord, I ask by your Holy Spirit that you would open the scriptures today to our hearts. Lord, show us things that we didn't see, didn't know. Lord, remove deception, remove fear, remove false teaching from our lives. And Lord, help us, dear God, to proclaim truth to a lost world. In Jesus' name, amen. deception in the church in the last days. Now, this message is designed to challenge you. It's going to challenge you. It will challenge you. I guarantee it will. I'm going to touch some things that may be in your life, and you may want to reconsider some things, but we're going to look at some deception that's actually in the church. Now, I'm going to show you where we are. This is our prophecy chart. We're currently in what's called the church age, and the next major event on God's calendar is that event called the rapture of the church. Every born-again believer here will be affected by the rapture. But I want you to understand something. We are headed to a end-time destination. Now, along the way, though, the Bible talks about in the latter days that there will be certain things that would happen, certain things that will come into our world, and deception is one of those end-time things. But you want to be a vigilant Christian. You want to be a believer who's not deceived. And sadly, many Christians are deceived today. Now, I'm a topical teacher. I'm going to give you four topics. One, we're going to define deception in the church. I'm going to define it. Then we're going to look at how are many being deceived in the church today? How is this deception happening in the church? Then we're going to look at exposing this deception in the church. And what I'm going to do here, I'm going to expose some things that are happening in the churches that a lot of people have bought into that didn't realize it was a deception. And it's a direct result of where we are. We're going to see. And then we're going to close up by looking at protecting yourselves from this latter day deception. And we're going to see, saints, that it's something that you must do as a believer, as a student of the scriptures, to protect yourself from the end time deception. So, first of all, we're going to look at deception in the church. This latter day deception in the church is a direct result of a lack of knowledge and spiritual illiteracy. Many Christians today are not spending quality time studying their Bibles, and as a result, they are open prey to wolves in sheep's clothing. They are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that comes along. The enemy has become more crafty and subtle in the way in which he deceives. In these last days, Satan has intensified his efforts to deceive. This deception has targeted, listen at this, the truth that is in the church. Now, one thing Pastor said as he was opening up to this session, he was talking about truth. We need truth, yes. But we need biblical truth. Yes. So you have people today that tell you that's your truth. This is my truth. Everybody got their own version of the truth. But I want you to understand that there's only one truth, and that's the truth that God gives us. There's only one foundation that we stand on. Now, we're living in the 21st century. You have a lot of people that say, well, you Christians are old fogey. I mean, you believe that old Bible. You need to come up to the 21st century and believe this new truth. Well, this new truth will get your soul lost. There's only one truth that we stand on. We're going to see that this morning. Now, since we're dealing with deception, I want to define the term deception. What is deception? Deception is the act of deceiving, the fact or condition of being deceived. Something that deceives or trick is a clever deception. You know, the devil, he's a tricker. He used trickery to get you. He's a master. He's a clever deceiver. Since the term trick is in there, let me define trick for you. What is trickery? Trickery implies ingenious acts intended to dupe or to cheat, resulted to trickery to gain their end. The devil is a master trickster. And what he does, he comes in a different way. You know, the devil, he's not going to come to your house and knock on your door and say, let me in. I got a red slicker suit on, a pitchfork in my hand. I'm coming to your door. Let me in. If the devil came that way, you rebuke the devil. You say, get thee hence, the devil. Get out of here. You won't let the devil in your house. So what the devil does, he has remastered and repackaged himself. He's come to you in a different way. He's coming to you so pleasant now that people just let him into their houses. And we're going to see it this day. We're going to see some things that's going to shock you. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to play a video. This video is about 3 minutes long. And this video is put out by the Truth Division. This is a group, they go on college campuses and they talk to students. If any parents here, if you got students in high school, any schooling or college, Spring break, summer break, you need to debrief your kids and find out what they're being taught in school. Now, this group, what they're going to do, they're going to ask a simple question. Is there a difference between a man and a woman? Just a simple question. I want you to listen to these kids, these college kids. This is the future leaders of tomorrow. Listen at their answers in regards to the difference between a man and a woman.
In light of all the conversation about gender and identity, we began to wonder if there's even a difference between men and women anymore. We went to Seattle University to find out.
I'm aware of the conversation going on in Washington State right now around kind of gender identity, gender expression issues, and the ability to access facilities on those grounds?
There's general neutral bathrooms and like all the dorms and stuff like that.
I think that gender is fluid, so if you want to use a bathroom because that's a place and that's a space where you feel comfortable and safe in doing so, then I think that that's completely fine.
I think that if whoever you think you are, if you're male or female, then that's the bathroom you should go into.
I think if it doesn't really negatively affect anybody, then I think anyone should be able to choose what gender they choose to identify as.
People, no matter what their gender identification is, they should be allowed to use whatever restrooms they feel that they identify with.
Is there a difference in your mind between men and women?
Possibly?
In general, yes. But I don't know why I think that.
Socially, currently, yes, there is. There is no need for that difference to exist, scientifically and logically.
If you think that you're a male, if you think that you're a female, that matters more than the biological difference.
There's not much difference besides what society forces onto people.
And how do you know the difference between men and women?
By what people think they are. So you can't like judge someone just on like their looks.
I don't think there's any one way to really distinguish between a man or a woman, and I don't think it's necessary.
It's not always consistent. It has a high probability, like 98% of the time I can get it right. There is some ambiguity.
I think, yeah, there are ways to tell, but then again, you can always be wrong.
What would you say I am?
Just judging off of your looks, I would say that you're a male.
I would probably assume a man, but then you never know.
A male.
Why would you say that?
Based on how I look at you.
Do you think that's a problem?
Yeah, probably.
Do you think the difference between men and women matters for any reason?
No, not really.
I think most sociologists agree that the concept of gender is more of a societal construct.
I do think it matters somewhat, yeah.
To me, no. I don't feel as if it matters to me because at the end of the day, the person is just a person.
No, I don't think it should matter.
And the differences on a social level are simply a product of a biased society.
Then is there a reason to have those labels, male or female?
I don't think so. I think that it's, again, a social construct of this binary that we're given at birth.
There is kind of a difference, but at the same time, if someone wants to identify as one or both or as nothing, I also find that completely okay.
There may be nothing more self-evident in the natural universe than the fact that every animal species is divided into two halves, male and female. Yet the most intelligent of those species seems to be wrestling with whether male or female are actually real things. Have we discovered something new, or have we become too clever for our own good?
Sometimes when I call a lady sir by accident, they get very offended.
I imagine they do get very offended when they call out of who they are. But you see, we have a culture now, that have tried to redefine truth. Parents, when your kids come home from school or from college, and they use terms like non-binary, you need to start talking to them and start questioning what they mean by that. A lot of kids today, they say they're non-binary, meaning that they're non-sex. They're neither male nor female. Now there are over 71 genders that this culture has created for your children. Now, just for the record, I'm gonna set the record straight here. What does the Bible say about genders? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, Scripture says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So the Bible says God only made two genders, a male gender and a female gender. It's only two, that's it. Not 72. It's only two, male and female. This is a truth that God has established. My 9-year-old granddaughter knows the difference between a boy and a girl. She said, Papa, that's not right. She knows the difference. Here, another one. Genesis 5:2. Scripture says, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. So when God made man, he made man, and he took the woman from man, and he created a female, but it's only two. But we're in a culture now that wants you to accept every type of falsehood. I say this many times, Pastor, that I'm not going to enter into their craziness. You know, when a guy wants to be a woman and he wants me to identify him as a woman, I can't do it. I'm gonna call him who he is. When he stands before God, he may think he's a woman, but when he stands before God, God's gonna know him as a man. And you gotta hear me say, don't be confused by that. Don't enter into the craziness. This is the culture in which we live in. Listen at this. I want to quote here from Dr. John MacArthur from his book, The Truth War. Truth is under attack. He said, truth itself does not change just because our points of view does. As we mature in our ability to perceive truth, truth itself remains fixed. Our duty is to conform all of our thoughts to the truth. We are not entitled to redefine truth to fit our own personal viewpoints, preferences, or desires. We must not ignore or discard selected truth just because we might find it hard to receive or difficult to believe. Above all, we can't get apathetic or lazy about the truth when the price of understanding or defending the truth turns out to be demanding or costly. Let me tell you some things. We're living in a culture now that it may cost you to believe truth. The very truth that you was once delivered from the Word of God now is under attack. But you must stand with the truth, saints. The Bible does not change. I've been teaching, next month will be 40 years of studying and teaching Bible prophecy. Guess what? I have not had to change my message. You know why? Because the Bible don't change. It's the same truth that has established my life, established my marriage, established my family. And guess what? It works. It's a biblical truth that you should not deviate from. But we're living in a time and a culture now where they don't like it. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24:4. Jesus said this, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Listen, saints, it's something you must do so you're not deceived. He said, Christian, take heed. It's something you must do that you're not deceived. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 and 8, listen to what Paul said. He says, let no man deceive you with vain words. See, a lot of people today are deceived because they are letting people deceive them. They are letting people tell them how to think. He said, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He said, be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Listen. If you're born again today, you are considered the children of the light, children of the day, not children of the night, not children of darkness. He said, walk as children of the light. Yes. We preach truth. We preach a holiness. We preach a clear gospel. And this is what we must do. But we have a culture now, sadly, they have entered into confusion. And what's sad, that confusion is now entering into the church. Now, how are many being deceived today in the church? There are some reasons why these things are happening. So how are many being deceived? Many in the church today have embraced the spirit of this world that is steadily turning and twisting biblical truth into a lie. We must understand that there is a major price to be paid when we choose deception over the truth of God's word. God has established the boundaries of truth, and we must stay firm within those boundaries if we want to see God in the end. When we depart from established truth, we are setting ourselves up for spiritual destruction, and we will face the consequences of our action. God has established boundaries that we must stay in. You know, boundaries are not bad. Boundaries are good. You know, the old saying, be careful before you take a fence down, before you find out why the fence was first put there. You know, you may take a fence down and be letting out a mad bull. Because you took the fence down. I don't like that border. I'm going to take the border down. And you let out a bull that tear you up. Well, truth, God has established truth in the home, in the family. God says, I have given you a biblical way for the family to work. If you take down the traditional views of the family, you destroy family. God said, I set that up in the scriptures. But we have a culture today now that have bought into the lie. So how is this deception coming in? Romans chapter 12, we know this very familiar passage. The Apostle Paul said this, 12:2. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. How are people being deceived? They are being conformed to this world's way of thinking. I used to believe like that, Pastor. You know, I used to hold that view. You know, a long time ago, I went to Sunday school and I was taught that way. I used to hold that view, but now because of the times, I've changed my view. You know, the Bible don't change. Paul said, be not conformed, but be ye transformed by what? By renewing your mind. Your mind is renewed by the word of God. Your mind is renewed by coming to church Sunday morning, Wednesday nights when your pastor have service. Your mind gets renewed. Don't be conformed. See, the sad thing is in the church today, we have more influence from the outside than we do from church. We have more influence from the TV, computers, all these different, so many different inputs, social pressures on our jobs. We have so many inputs coming in, and we have a little bit of the word. Sometimes, and I got to say this, sometimes we only open the Bible Sunday morning. Sometimes we have them big old nice pretty Bibles on our coffee table, Pastor. Full of dust. Never open the book. Only time we open it when we come to church. If that's your only input for God's way of thinking, you are susceptible for deception. How are people being deceived? Jesus said this. Listen what Jesus said. Matthew 22:29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, or you go into error, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. If you don't know the word of God, you are susceptible to be deceived. Ye do go into error. Ye go into error when you don't know the truth. Look at this. The prophet Hosea wrote this. Hosea 4:6, God said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Why? Because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee. He said, that thou be no more priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God. I will also forget thy children. God says, the reason why my people are going into deception and being deceived, they reject the knowledge of God's word and they have forgotten what they've been taught. You can't forget what you've been taught, because listen, the word does not change. Sin in the Old Testament is the same sin in the New Testament. It don't change. It's sin. I don't care how much the times change. It don't change. God made one man, one woman. That's it. Yeah. He didn't make 73 different versions of humanity. Don't believe that lie. Look at this. Look what Paul says. 2 Timothy 4:3. Paul wrote this. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. Don't give me the truth, Pastor. Pastor Fee, don't you bring that evangelist over again, because every time he comes, he gets me upset. Don't don't you break. Give me something that's going to make me feel good, Pastor. Listen, be careful now. Be careful. He said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear a word that's going to change their life. They don't want to hear a word that's going to convict them. Pastor, I have a pastor. My wife and I, we travel full time. But when I'm not on the road, guess where I'm at? Sunday morning, I'm at my church. Me and my wife got two little seats right there. We're in church. Now, I'm an evangelist. I'm teaching all over the world. But I got a pastor I submit to. You know why? Because he preached truth that changed my life. Yeah. The preacher needs the word. Yeah. I said, Pastor, just keep giving me a strong word. Pastor, cut me. Cut me, Pastor. Give me the word, Pastor. And my pastor cut me, Pastor. Sliced me like filet mignon. He just sliced me. I said, Pastor, that was a good word. Now, my flesh didn't like it, but Pastor, thank you for the word. Yeah, we're in the last days, saints. The Apostle Paul wrote this under the unction of the Holy Spirit. He said, and this is a prophecy he gave in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Paul said this. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Paul prophesied here that in the latter days, that many people would depart from the faith. They would turn away from God in the last days. This term here, falling away, in the Greek, it's called apostasy. So what does apostasy mean? Let me give you a definition. Apostasy in the Greek is apostasia. Its meaning is meaning defection or departure, revolt or rebellion, a willful falling away from or rebellion against Christianity. Apostasy means to fall away from the truth. Therefore, an apostate is someone who has once believed and then rejected the truth of God. Apostasy is a rebellion against God because it's a rebellion, listen at this, against the truth. Be careful, my friend. Don't change your views of truth from the word of God's truth. Because you can be careful. I mean, if you're not careful, you can become apostate. They turn from the truth. No, you don't want to do that. Now, exposing this deception in the church. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to share some very hard stuff here in a few minutes here. I'm going to show you things that are happening around the world in the quote-unquote church as deceptions. People are believing some freaky stuff in the church. Now, in disposing this end-time deception in the church, we must recognize that there is a deliberate attempt to introduce a lie into the truth. This deception is vividly displayed before our eyes every day, but we don't see it because we have become desensitized. The subtle deception became acceptable and now appears to be truth. We must boldly expose the lies of the devil in order for men and women in the church to see the truth of God's, to see God's truth once again. We must expose the lie of the devil. Yes. Now, I'm going to tell you, the truth that you have is going to come under attack. You better hear me. On your job, it's going to be a lot of things going to be coming at what you believe. And if you're not a strong believer, you could compromise very quick. You don't need to compromise. Hold to the truth. That's the only way you're going to help save this world. You got to hold to the truth. Don't compromise. I made a statement before. Some Christians, the only time people know that they're Christians is when they come to church. Because when they go to work, they become stealth believers. You know, like the stealth jet, you can't see it. Radar can't see it. So they go to work and nobody know they're Christians by the way they live. But then when they come to church, they uncloak. And now, praise God, Pastor. Praise Jesus, Pastor. They go to family events and nobody know they saved. Let me tell you something. The Bible said that God have set you as a light to a dark world. If the light of Christ is not shining in your life, your family members may never come to God. See, sometimes we are afraid to offend our family members. Now, listen to what I'm saying now. When I mean by offend them, truth will offend people. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're trying to offend them. The word of God offends them. But you got to preach truth to your life. If you want them saved, you better preach truth to them. The scripture says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kiss of an enemy is deceitful. Now, if you're going to be my friend, give me the truth. Don't let me go off the cliff and you know the road is out. Don't let me go off the road. Brother Perkins, stop, the bridge is out. If you're my friend, you're going to rebuke me no matter how I want to drive over that road. No, brother, stop. The bridge is out. You need to warn your loved ones. Stop doing what you're doing because you're going to hell. But we're afraid to offend them. They go to hell. They're going to say, nobody never told me about this. Now, look at this. Paul wrote this in Romans 1, verse 18. He said, for the wrath or the anger of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Paul said this, God's anger comes against those people who hold the truth, meaning they know the truth. They've been taught the truth, but they hold the truth in sin. They know what the Bible says about certain things, but they just hold that truth and live like the devil. Paul said in Romans 1, 24, 25, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Here's the problem. Who change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. You know, they got people that love the creation more than they love God. They got certain people, man, you go cut down a tree, they will go occupy that tree so you won't cut that tree down. Pastor, I was online one day, I blew me away. I saw these people online on YouTube in the woods crying because mankind had murdered the trees. They were weeping, these trees, they murdered these murderers. They murdered the trees. But they won't weep over aborted babies. The Bible says, who changed the truth into a lie and worship and serve the creature or the creation more than the creator. This is a latter-day sign of the time. Same, you got to stick with truth. Paul said this, 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, this is the last days, latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. What are you giving heed to? What are you listening to, Christian? What are you watching, believer? Let me tell you something. In these latter days, you need to be a discerning believer in these latter days. You just can't watch everything. He said it's seducing spirits, but he also said doctrines. Doctrines means teachings, teachings of devils. Now, you say, Brother Perkins, I will never bring a satanic Bible into my house. Brother Perkins, I'll never watch pornography. I'll never do this. I'll never do that. But I will read Harry Potter. You know Harry Potter's doctrines of devils? See, the devil, he slid that one in. It's a good little novel. Little Johnny wants to read. Look, Johnny reading those thick novels. And what you'll realize, you're allowing the devil to teach your babies how to become wizards and witches. Doctrines of devils. I did with parents across the country, Pastor. I was in a large meeting in the LA area. A lady came to me at the close service. She said, Brother Perkins, please talk to my son. He's into Harry Potter, and he spent his hard-earned money. He made an order for the next Harry Potter series that was coming out. She said, please help me tell my son that this is so bad. And the little boy, he saved his money to buy the new series of Harry Potter books. And I shared this message. And man, it affected this mother so much. And I had to minister to this little kid. I did a conference in Kansas City. I shared a message. I talked about Harry Potter. I talked about these different books. The pastor got up behind me. He said, Brother Perkins, I'm convicted. He said, from this pulpit, I gave my son the whole Harry Potter series. Mama. Pastor, doctrines of devils. Da Vinci Code. I mean, anybody saw the movie Da Vinci Code or read the books? If you got them, get rid of it, destroy it. Don't take it to Savage Lumber. Rip it up. Tear it up. Pull the video out. Do it. Get it out of your house. Doctrines of devils designed to come against the truth. Now, exposing. I'm going to get exposed. I'm going to put some things in. It's going to blow your mind. How many of you ever heard of Chrislam? You heard of Chrislam? Chrislam is the blending of Christianity and Islam. They think that Christianity and Islam is the way to go. Nope. Demonic. Nope. Allah didn't save. Jesus is the only savior.
That's right.
But I'm going to show you. Look at this one. This is from a church in, it says, Breitbart reported this. World's first lesbian bishop calls for churches to remove crosses to install Muslim prayer space. The Bishop of Stockholm has proposed a church in her diocese remove all signs of the cross and put down markings showing the direction to Mecca for the benefit of Muslim worshipers. Now, this so-called church. Now, first of all, I got a problem with a lesbian bishop. Okay? That already just totally throws it left field. But now they are attacking the cross to make way for the Muslim. You cannot blend the two. No, Muslims need to receive Jesus Christ. There's only one Savior, one truth. I'm gonna tell you something. Your truth gonna be challenged. People gonna tell you, you mean to tell me that Jesus is the only way to be saved? You mean to tell me, Christian, you are telling me that if my friend or my sister don't accept Jesus Christ, she can go to hell? That's absolutely correct. But you know something? We are afraid to say that. Because you watch Oprah Winfrey went on TV and said it. There are many ways to God. No, Oprah is a liar. Yeah, that's simple. You must preach the truth. Let me show you a few more. Look at this. These are billboards that are up all around the country. Muslims love Jesus too. Look at this one. Jesus is a Muslim. Yes, we use the present tense. Look at this. A Muslim is someone who submits to God's will. Jesus, a prophet of Islam. This is blasphemy. Not only that, but these are in signs. Guess where they put them? They put them near McDonald's, where there are a lot of traffic, a lot of people coming by. And naive Christians say, oh, Jesus in the Bible? I mean, Jesus in the Quran? You know, Jesus in the Quran is not the Jesus of the Bible. That's a false teaching. That's a falsehood. That's a lie of the devil. Let me show you another one. Look at this one. Look at this one. You ain't gonna believe this one. Look at this. Wisconsin State Journal, June 9th this month, church will fly pride flag again. Let me read the story. For the second time, someone has stolen the Progress Pride flag from the United Methodist Church. We fly this flag in support of all of our LGBT neighbors. It is our way of saying we stand beside you and affirm your right to live in the fullness of all that God created you to be. In April, we celebrated our 7th anniversary of becoming, listen at this, a reconciling congregation, specifically lifting up the struggles of transgender persons and of the intersexuality of marginalized groups in our world. The Purpose Pride flag was designed to be inclusive of all intersectional sexuality. Ours was a gift to the church from the community member. Now, this is a gay pride flag, but it's a new twist on the gay pride flag. The gay pride flag has the rainbow in it. What's different about God's rainbow, God has 7 colors. This gay flag has 6 colors. But now they want to be inclusive, so they're adding for blacks and for browns and everybody else under the sun. They got so many different, it's going to be all alphabets before this thing is over with. It's going to be psychedelic before it's over with because they want to be inclusive. Hear me now. Hear me. A lot of people in the church, now think about this. This is a Methodist church, Pastor. I did a meeting this week at the Legacy Center at Marcello. As I was driving to the Legacy Center to teach chapel service, I passed by, there's a large Methodist, United Methodist Church right on the 8. They had electronic marquee announcing events and things, and guess what? As soon as I passed by there, they had gay pride thing, right? This is a Methodist church. See, Methodist Church used to be an Orthodox church of truth. It was known as a Christian, quote unquote, Christian church. Okay, not only is that happening in their group, let me give you this one. This is the Episcopal Church, also used to be known as Christian. Listen to this. The Episcopal Church in Washington, D.C. has voted to limit the use of pronouns that refer to God as masculine and to become more inclusive of transgender individuals. During the 123rd Diocese Convention at Washington National Cathedral, delegates approved a resolution regarding future updates to the denomination August Book of Common Prayers, resolving to eliminate, when it's possible, all gender references to God and to replace them with gender-neutral languages, if necessary, to alter gender titles when referring to God. So they don't want nothing that says God the Father. They want to say God the Mother and Father. They don't want nothing that says God the Father. The Bible says God the Father.
That's right.
The Bible says His Son Jesus.
That's right.
They want to change that. This is the Episcopal Church. Can you handle a few more of these? I'm going to give it to you anyway, if you can or not. I'm going to give it to you anyway. Look at this one. Look at this. Here in San Diego. This is St. Paul's Episcopal. 2018, they lit the whole church up in rainbow in support of the LGBT community. This is church. This is deception in the church. God, now look at this. This is going to blow your mind here. Look at this. Atlanta Church hires the Atlanta Church hires a psychic medium to minister to congregation. Yeah, Atlanta Church. Let me tell you something. Here, Brother Perkins. Okay, when you get saved, you no longer go to the mediums. You no longer go to the zodiacs. You lose your month, Cancer, Libra, Gemini. Listen, when you become a Christian, you become a Christian.
That's right.
You're no longer a Cancer. You're no longer a Gemini. You're no longer. A lot of Christians follow. They read the horoscopes in the morning, and they let the horoscope dictate their lives. When you're a Christian, you no longer follow the zodiacs. You're a Christian. You no longer go to the psychic. In the book of Leviticus, God says, if you go to the psychic, He said, you will corrupt your spirit going to the psychic. King Saul lost his kingdom because he went to the witch of Endor. The Bible said, inquiring of this witch rather than going to God. You don't go to the psychic. Now, God warns here. This is Leviticus 19:31. God says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. This church has hired a psychic. There's a problem. There's a problem in leadership, Pastor. So let me show you the pastor of the church. Hang on. Got your seatbelts on? Here's the pastor of the church. Atlanta Church hires psychic medium to minister to congregation. In 2013, Bishop Allen and his family were featured among BET's famous black LGBT couple and selected as one of Ebony's magazine's top 10 coolest black families in America. They were the first, listen to this, the first same-sex couple to ever be chosen and celebrated in this popular edition. Allen says his greatest love is his family. Listen to me, saints. Here, Brother Perkins. We are living in the last days. Truth is under attack. But what's so sad that this deception is now coming into the church. You know why? You know why? Because the truth is not being taught in the churches. Pastors are afraid. Now, your pastor's not afraid, I guarantee you. But pastors are afraid to preach truth.
That's right.
They're afraid that they're going to offend somebody. Now, I got to give you another one. I'm going to show you this one. Here's another thing that's out there. They are trying to redefine Jesus. They're trying to redefine him. This is one reason why you need to know Jesus of the scriptures. If you don't know Jesus from the Bible, Discover Channel, History Channel, Time Magazine, they're going to re-give you a whole different view of who Jesus is. I've been tracking these authors, Pastor, for 40 years. Every Christmas, every Easter, they have a new cover story about Jesus. I begin to read these articles, and every one of them, Pastor, they totally give you a different view of Jesus. Look at this one, Rethinking Jesus, new debates about the risen Christ. There's no debate about Jesus. Jesus was Jesus. Look at this, U.S. News, In Search of Jesus, Who Was He? New appraisals of his life and meaning. Look at this one, Jesus, In Search of Jesus. Some scholars are debunking the Gospels. Oh, what kind of scholar? No, they're not biblical scholars. Look at this one. Why was Jesus killed? Scholars find new clues about his crucifixion. This U.S. News and World Report article said Jesus was killed because he took up the peasants' cause in the time of Rome. He said that the Romans, they went into a massive building boom, and Jesus took up the cause of the peasants, and it's no wonder he got himself killed. That's unbiblical. Let me ask you, why was Jesus killed? For our sins. Jesus came on the scene knowing that he was to die for our sins. That's why when Peter cut the servant's ear off, Jesus put the man's ear back on so they can get back on script. He said, Peter, put your sword away, Peter. You can't deliver me. Peter, if you deliver me, you're going to hell. Peter, I got to go to the cross for you. I got to go to the cross for you, Peter. Heal the man's ear. Save Peter's life. They would have killed Peter for doing that too. Save the man. My ear back. Jesus got back on script and went to the cross to deliver us. Listen, you better know Jesus from the scriptures, not Jesus from National Geographic, not Jesus from the Discover Channel. I'm gonna show you another. I gotta give you this one. Look at this one. This one, I deal with this since I'm a black man. I can deal with this real hard. This is another false view that has impacted the church, especially the black church. This is called the false Hebrew Israeli movement. I did with pastors and wives all across America. Brother Perkins, my husband, he won't come to church, but now he's watching these black Hebrew stuff on YouTube. And what happened, these men are buying into the lie that all blacks in America are of the tribe of Israel. That's a lie of the devil. They believe that all blacks that were slaves that came over on slave boats, they came from the tribe of Judah, and they say that these are the priestly family. Absolutely incorrect. The tribe of Judah was never a priestly family. That was the Levites. They're totally wrong. This group is a group that is full of hatred. They hate white America. They hate all Jews. You go to Lemon Grove, by the lemon out there, that big lemon out there, you see them stand out there, just spewing all kind of hatred. They curse while they read the word. They are bent on looking for a black Jesus. Be careful. You know, I don't care what color Jesus was. Now, he wasn't blonde, blue eyes. I don't believe that either. If you want to know how Jesus looked, he looked like the Israelites looked in the region. That's how he looked. But I don't care if he was psychedelic. It don't matter to me. He died to save me.
That's right.
This group is so bent on having a black Jesus. They pull a scripture out of context from Revelation chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. This is the glorified vision of Christ. Let me read the text for you. It says, talking about Jesus, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass as if it burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. They said right there, Jesus was black. He has woolly hair, and his feet was like bronze. Misinterpret scripture. The Bible says his head and hairs were white like wool. The emphasis was when wool is purified by a fuller, it's snow white. Could he say as white as snow? The emphasis was on the purity. the white glow of the glory of God. It had nothing to do with woolly hair. They've started a whole doctrine on it, and a lot of blacks, pastors, because they don't know the scripture, have bought into the lie. This is happening in the church. I deal with this from coast to coast. Now I'm almost done here with this part. I gotta touch something else though. I got a few more things I gotta touch. I'm gonna give you this another one. Truth is under attack. Be careful. This is an article, U.S. News and World Report, talking about hell. Hell, a new vision of the netherworld. Now, in this article here, this is how the world thinks the devil is in hell. He's down in hell with a drink in his hand, Bermuda shorts on. You got people there reclining right there, and the demons serving them drinks. Then in the background, you got people playing volleyball in hell. That's a lie, the devil. This whole article attacked the truth of biblical hell. It's a lie. Look at this one. What if there's no hell? This article, Time Magazine did a cover story on it. This was put out by a ex-Christian pastor by the name of Rob Bell. Yeah, totally false teaching. Look at this one, discovering heaven. Look at this one, rethinking heaven. You better know when the world deals with biblical issues, they will never give it to you right. That's why you better know it from the scripture first. All right, I got to hit the next one. The next deception in the church. You got your seatbelts on? Here we go, look at this next one. The spiritual deception of yoga. Pastors, I travel across the country. A lot of Christians are into yoga. They got the yoga mats. They go to the exercise place. They got yoga classes. Some of the healthcare now in the holistic healing, they give you a prescription for yoga. Listen to me, Christian. You should not be messing with anything dealing with yoga. Yoga is Eastern religion. Yoga is not, it's not centering your chakra. You know something, the Indian yogis, they do not like Christians saying that yoga is okay. They don't like it. They are pure yoga. They don't want no, they say yogis don't believe in Jesus. But a lot of Christians have bought into the lie. You know, I crossed over, I think the 50 window, I started getting all this stuff from AARP, and they say this cover story says the United States of Yoga. I want you to know some things. Watch how many commercials on TV that promote yoga. Pastor, they sell Kellogg's cornflakes with yoga. They sell cars with yoga. They sell drugs with yoga. They sell TVs with yoga. Watch now, from this day on, watch how many programs you're going to see a person in a yoga position. They are indoctrinating the culture, and you don't even realize it. I preached in St. Louis. A lady told me, she said, I've been practicing yoga for 40 years, and I'm not going to give it up, preacher. It's the only thing that gives me peace. I said, ma'am, you go ahead on and do what you do. I said, but you heard the truth here today. Christian in the yoga. How many have ever heard of color runs? You ever heard of color runs? All right, you ever seen people, a lot of young people into color runs? What they do, they have these marathon runs, and the kids are running with white on, and they're throwing colors. You ever seen them? They're throwing colors on them. The millennials love it. But what they don't realize, color runs is from Indian culture. I'm just going to show you something here. I'm just going to show you the picture. I'll show you the picture. This is the color runs, okay? A lot of Christians have gotten involved in color runs and don't even know that this is a cultic. Color runs come from India, and what it is a worship of a young demon son who killed his demon father in the Indian culture. Color runs. Look at this. These Americans, they go there and get all this color thrown on them. Man, this is so exciting. This is cool, man. Pastor, you think this is in India? This is in Utah. This is in India here. This is how they celebrate it. The young baby, young kids into the color run. But for Indians, this is a whole, this is cultic. But Christians have bought into the lie. Look at this. This is part of their Indian culture. Let me show you something. Look at this picture, the yoga of Jesus. That's a lie. Got Jesus in a yoga position. Give me a break. Look at this, Pastor. Look at this. Christ-centered yoga at Mountain Park. That's an oxymoron. There's no Christ-centered yoga. No, no, you can't mix Jesus with yoga. No, Jesus is the only answer, not yoga. Look at this one. Christians in a yoga position in front of the cross. Deception. Hear me. I know this is not a comfortable message. I understand. But I'm trying to get you to understand how deception has crept in and we didn't even see it. Dr. Moeller, listen to what he says. The danger of Christians practicing yoga. He said this, the growing acceptance of yoga points to the retreat of biblical Christianity in the culture, meaning that the Christian culture has retreated from the truth. He said, yoga begins and ends with an understanding of the body, that is to say, the very least, at odds with Christian understanding. Christians are not called to empty the mind or to see the human body as a means of connecting to or coming to know the divine. Believers are called to meditate upon the Word of God, an external word that comes to us by divine revelation. See, the Bible says, renew your mind by the Word of God. The Word will change you. You don't empty your mind to center your chakra. I was flying back from Africa for a conference. I was so tired, Pastor. I was so tired. We flew, man, 18 hours. I was tired. I landed in New York airport, or one of the airports. I was in the airport, and I was spent. Brother Perkins was spent, man. They sent me to one counter, then they sent me to the other counter, and they sent me back. By that time, I was tired. I was done with this. So I went up to the lady. I said, ma'am, tell me where I need to go. She said, calm down, calm down. She go, She went into a yoga position on me, trying to calm the preacher down. I looked at her, I had to catch my flight, man. I wanted to preach to this lady. It was amazing. Look what he goes on to say. Nevertheless, a significant number of American Christians either experiment with yoga or become adherents to some yoga disciplines. Most seem unaware that yoga cannot be neatly separated into physical and spiritual dimensions. The physical is the spiritual in yoga. And exercises and disciplines of yoga are meant to connect with the divine. Let me tell you something. Go online. You don't believe me? Go online. Do a Google search. The dangers of yoga with Christians. And you will have testimony after testimony of people who went too far with yoga. This is what the yogi said. These are the yogis from India. They said, Hindu yogis say they are bringing more Americans into Hinduism through yoga and the holy festival. Holy festival is that dust, that the stuff they're throwing around. The stuff. They're bringing more people into Hinduism. All right. So now, I'm going to come down. I got a few more things I'm going to give. I'm going to come to a close, then I'm going to play one more video at the end. Protecting yourselves. I got more I can give you, but I'm going to come down. Protecting yourselves from the latter-day deception. In this end-time generation, one very effective way of protecting yourselves from deception is to simply turn off the TV. Now, a lot of us can't do that. We've got 50 TVs in our house. I mean, I have a TV in almost every room. We need to be, listen to this, we need to be very discreet in what movies, TV programs, and computer games we allow to be watched or played in our homes. You need to use discretion, saints, with your TV. Don't just watch everything. Don't let your kids just watch in and everything. How many seen the commercial from Blue's Clues from Cox Cable? Anybody seen the commercial just of late on Cox Cable from Blue's Clues? Blue's Clues used to be a cute little PBS cartoon for kids. Now they show two men with a little girl sitting on the couch together, hugged up, talking about Blue's Clues. Listen to this. Oh boy. We need to be very discreet in what movies, TV programs, and computer games we allow to be watched or played in our homes. We need to spend more time with the Lord and His Word. Sadly, many today have an appetite for the world. And as a result, they are defeated Christians. Instead of giving heed to doctrines of devils, we need to give heed to the Word of God.
That's right.
You need to listen to the Word, saints. Listen to the Word your pastor give you. Spend time in the Word yourself. So in light of that, I love this Psalm 101:3. The psalmist wrote, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave me. You know, I can't watch everything. There's some programs, Pastor God said, I don't want you watching that. Now, it may not be some evil. I don't watch pornography. I don't do none of that stuff. But there's certain programs God said, I don't want you looking at that. Cut it off. They got a program called Satan. Anybody heard the program called Satan? Lucifer. It's called Lucifer. Anybody heard the program? You don't want to admit it, but I know some of you watch Lucifer. Lucifer, Pastor. They got programs on gay programs, gay sitcoms, Modern Family. A lot of Christians watch Modern Family. Don't you know? So Modern Family is a deception against the truth of the biblical family. I don't watch Modern Family. I can't watch that in my house because it's a false. It's not true. It's untrue. Christian, be careful what you are setting in front of you and be very careful what you are setting in front of your children. Those programs are giving your babies a world, a demonic worldview. You are the guard for your children and your grandchildren.
That's right.
I'm almost done. Y'all looking at me real funny now. Look what Paul said. This is how you protect yourself. Paul said this to Timothy. We know this passage, 2 Timothy 2:15, 16. Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Paul said, in Latter-day Christian, you need to study your Bible. Pull your Bible out, saints. Take notes when your pastor preach. Study the word. Go home and open the scriptures up. I'm going to give one more verse, and then I'm going to close with one more video. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. John wrote this. He said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. As a Christian, you have the right to try what you're listening to, what you're hearing. Believe me, your pastor does not mind you checking him out from the scriptures. He don't mind it. As a matter of fact, he encouraged you. Listen, you everything I preach, go in the Bible behind me and look it up yourself. The Bible talks about the Bereans in the book of Acts. The Bible says the Bereans, they were more noble in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, but they searched the scriptures daily to make sure it was correct. See, I love my pastor, but you better believe when he's preaching, bro, I'm following with the scripture. I'm making sure what he's telling me. And then if it's something I don't understand, I'm going to go a little bit deeper to find out to make sure he's telling me correctly. Right. See, the pastor don't mind you doing that because if you do that, you're going to become a strong believer. Mm-hmm. Okay? All right, I'm going to close with this video. How many remember Paul Harvey?
Oh, yes.
Remember Paul Harvey? The rest of the story?
Oh, yes.
Now, I'm going to make sure this thing is still on. All right. Now, this one, it may be a little bit low. You might have bring it up. And you might want to turn my mic off when you play it. You probably won't get feedback then. But before you turn me off, let me share something. Paul Harvey did this thing. It's called If I Was the Devil. Or If I Were the Devil, he called it. This was 1965. Paul Harvey was a believer. He's a Christian. I believe, based on what I'm about to let him tell you, I believe the man was a prophet. Because what he's going to share with, he said, if I were the devil, this is what I would do to America. When you read, and when you hear this, this is 1965, you're going to think it sounds just like the 21st century. Like, I mean, well, it's in the 21st century, but you're going to think it's today. And this guy is dead and gone. Listen at this. If I were the devil.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree.
Take some of the base out.
So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. What'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
This is where we are. This was 1965. If I were the devil, I could convince whole states to legalize gambling to be rich. If I were the devil, I would legalize marijuana so you'd be rich. States. Colorado was one of the first states to legalize marijuana, and they have been inundated with so many homeless people because they going to Colorado because it was legal to smoke dope, but they wasn't working and they're on the streets just filling the streets with druggies. Let me tell you something. You cannot legalize a vice and think it's going to bless your state. No, you're going to pay for that. You legalize a sin, you're going to pay for that. But what's sad, it has entered into the church. When I first heard this pastor, this thing shook me to the core, man. I'm going, wow. Couldn't believe it. I said, this is amazing. This is where we are. This is the state of America, state of the world, state of the church. We are living in the last days. I want to give you the warning before I close in prayer. If there's ever been a time you need to be a student of this word here, this is the time. Parents, if there's ever been a time you need to be a safeguard for your babies, don't let Disney babysit your babies. I can't stand Disney shows. You hear Brother Perkins? A lot of the teen programs on Disney and Nickelodeon, if you watch it, all of the kids are in charge and the parents are goofballs. Amen. All the parents are goofy. All the teachers, all the leaders are goofballs and the kids are in charge. You know, that's a curse. The Bible says when kids rule, that's a curse. Wow. This is just mesmerizing your kids. Parents, don't let your kids watch Disney. What's her name, the girl from Cosby? What's her name? Simone. Raven Simone. Her program was That's So Raven. Remember that? That's So Raven? Now they got another version of her Raven show. A lot of parents didn't know That's So Raven. She was a psychic. Teaching your kids how to be psychics. Now in the new version of it, she's an adult parent. And now she's still a psychic, but now she has children. And I think one of her kids is a psychic. It's on Disney. And your little baby just watching it, little Johnny watching it, you letting him watch that stuff. No, you better set a guard. You better set a guard over what your kids are watching because they are being deceived. Let's bow our hearts. Father, we love you. And again, I thank you for the word. Lord, I know this is a strong word. I know, God, it's an uncomfortable word. I know it's truth. Lord, help us in these latter days as your sons and daughters. Help us to proclaim a true sound message to a lost world. Lord, your word declares that you have set us as lights in a dark world. Let us be the light, oh God. Lord, make us strong, dear God. Set our heart, dear God, strong where we will proclaim truth to our family, our co-workers, our friends, and those that come along our acquaintance. Lord, help us to proclaim truth to them. Now, before I close this prayer, I must make an appeal today. If you're here today on the sound of my voice, you say, Brother Perkins, I'm not a Christian. I want to say to you, don't leave this place without accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. It's that easy. You call upon him, he will save you. He will give you life. If you're here, don't leave this place without him this morning. If you said, Brother Perkins, I'm not a Christian, but I want to be. I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. I want the truth of Christ in my life. Simply raise your hand, and I would love to lead you in a simple prayer of salvation. Is there anyone? I'm not a Christian. I see a hand. So good. Anybody else? I'm not a Christian. Come on, don't fight. Don't debate. Don't fight about it. No. This message was designed for you today. Is there anybody else? I'm not a Christian, but I want to be. I've been battling things in my heart. I'm tired. I want to surrender to Jesus. Is there anybody else before I pray? Anybody else? Okay. All right. I saw a gentleman over here. I saw him raise his hand. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to lead him in a prayer, and I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. And Pastor, I know you guys would deal with them afterwards, but this young man in the back. So I want everybody to bow your hearts with me, and I'm going to lead this gentleman in a simple prayer of salvation. All right. And I want everybody to pray this prayer with me, because if you want to pray this prayer for you, pray it. All right? Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, this day I come to you in need of a Savior. Today, Lord, I acknowledge that you are Lord. I believe you died on the cross and you rose from the dead. Today, Lord, by an act of my choice, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. Lord, forgive me for all of my sins. Wash me afresh in your blood. And Lord, today I thank you for saving me. Now, Lord, I pray for those that join in this prayer to God. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, let this be the beginning of a new life for them, oh God. Lord, give them a desire for the word of God that will save them. Now, I got one more appeal, and then I'm going to close. This appeal for those who may be born again. You say, Brother Perkins, this message challenged me today, and I want to go deeper into things of God. I want God to show me places in my life where I may have missed it. And I want God to give me grace in that area. If that's you, raise your hand today. Now, don't be afraid. Raise your hand. Come on, my hand's up first. We've all made mistakes in life. And I want God's grace to help me. Is there anybody else? Okay? All right. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. And those of you who want to get involved in this prayer, you say this prayer. Lord Jesus, today I'm coming clean. There have been things in my life, decisions that I've made that are contrary to you. Forgive me, Lord. Today, Lord, I rededicate my heart to your truth. Lord, help me live a strong Christian life in these latter days. Lord, give me purpose and give me direction. And Lord, I thank you this day in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I commend everyone here to the grace of God. Lord, bless the pastor of this house. Bless the leadership that's part of this house. And Lord, bless this congregation, oh God, as they allow the truth of your word to affect their lives. Lord, I bless them in the name of Jesus. I bless them with the grace of God. And Lord, encamp your angels about them. Keep them safe from hurt, harm, and danger. And Satan, I tell you today, you will not steal this word that's been sown into their hearts. This word will produce what God wanted to produce. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.